Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the fallout from the resignation letter by a Goldman Sachs executive and explore the broader issue of public morality at a time when Republican presidential candidates are campaigning on enforcing a holier-than-thou private morality, mostly about sex. Mike Lux, the CEO of Progressive Strategies, joins us to discuss how the focus in this election can be turned to address the morally bankrupt behavior and toxic and destructive environment of Wall Street. Then, as the screws turn on Iran with today's closure of its access to international bank transfers, we will look into Iran's aggressive and defensive foreign policy and the extent to which sanctions are hurting the Iranian people, but not the regime. Nada Hashimi, a professor of Middle East and Islamic politics at the Joseph Corbell School of International Studies at the University of Denver, joins us. Then finally, as the rising price of gas becomes a central issue in this year's election campaigns, we will talk with Michael Clare about his new book, The Race for What's Left, The Global Scramble for the World's Last Resources, and discuss how costly and increasing risks will be taken to extract the last drops of oil, exposing the environment to greater danger. Joining us now is Mike Lux, a partner at Democracy Partners and co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to the president for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995. He's the author of the widely praised book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mike Lux.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And you've written about the Goldman Sachs executive, his mea culpa, in the New York Times yesterday, Greg Smith, talking about the toxic and destructive environment at Goldman Sachs. And you've written about that in the Huffington Post, Mike. And the New York Times today carried a front page story, continuing that conversation, if you will. I spoke with a Wall Street insider yesterday. He wrote an expose on Goldman Sachs, and he more or less said, you know, well, there's nothing new about it. This has been going on forever. And after all, Senator Levin had that hearing where he kept repeating the word that I can't repeat 11 times about the kind of deals that Goldman Sachs were foisting on their unfortunate yeah. clients. But it clearly got to you. So give me your reaction to it and why you think it has resonance in this current political race.
Well, look, I think that that voters tend to look at least as much, if not more, frankly, at their perceptions about morals and who shares their values than about specific policy issues. Most voters don't follow the details of policies all that much. There are exceptions to that. I think, for example, on health care, people are more policy-oriented because they know so much about their own health care coverage and how it affects their life. But I think for the most part, voters don't tend to follow the ins and outs of the budget politics or specific policy debates, but they do get a sense of who shares their values, who believes what they do, who has their same sort of sense of morality. And Republicans spend a lot of time talking about morality because they are aware that appeals to voters. But when you've got somebody like Mitt Romney, who is so close to Goldman Sachs, I mean, he operated his company the way Goldman Sachs has operated their company for the last few years, and the way Smith described in this piece that everybody's talking about yesterday in the New York Times. So you've got a guy. I mean, Romney is the biggest single source of his contributions come from Goldman Sachs executives. He's done all kinds of business deals with them over the years. He's got all kinds of investments with them, even today. So you've got a guy who's like completely linked to this company. And this company, I mean, what Smith said, the only thing surprising about it was that he was a Goldman insider. You know, the kinds of things that he was talking about were not surprises to anybody who's followed the company. They do have a toxic culture. They are corrupt as hell. So, for them and for people like Romney to be so linked, I think it's important for us to make that point.
So, Mike Lux, how do you then turn this debate about religious morality and an almost, going back to the kind of pilgrim days of the Scarlet Letter and witch burning in terms of its sort of the intensity of Santorum's reactionary religion and the notion that we're talking about women's, not just women's reproductive rights, but their access to contraception now. The conservatives are very effectively moving the clock back. And if you're saying it's ultimately distracting us from the real discussion about public morality, who's going to turn this around and focus on the real discussion?
Well, I think it's the job of progressives everywhere to do that. You know, the point that one of the points that I made in my piece in HuffPo that you referenced was the morality debate to me is fascinating because you've got a bunch of people like Romney and Santorum who proclaim at every juncture their deep faith in Jesus as their savior. And yet, if you actually read the Bible, Jesus was far more concerned with how the poor were treated. He was far more concerned with social reform to give poor people more and to he told wealthy people of his time that they had no chance of going to heaven unless they gave all their money to the poor. He challenged the authorities at every point on matters of social justice. He started his whole ministry with a sermon where he said that he wanted the rich to forgive the debts of the poor, right? So and he was a guy who Jesus was a person who almost never talked about sexual sins. I mean he never mentioned abortion, even though it was common in those times. He never mentioned gay people, even though homosexuality was very common in that era of history. He didn't talk about that stuff. He barely touched on adultery. He would sometimes list adultery in a long list of sins of things to avoid, but he almost never talked about that stuff. What he talked about was helping the poor, and that the wealthy should be helping the poor, and that society should be helping the poor. That's the irony of someone like Santorum, who is so obsessed with sex. You know, he doesn't want people to have sex. He doesn't want he doesn't want people to use birth control. He's crazed about it. And the guy that he says he's following wasn't crazed about it. The guy who he says he's following didn't ever mention it in his entire 3-year ministry. So there's some funny business going on among conservatives on this whole morality debate.
Yeah, well, it's I recall in the Bible it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Exactly.
Are you talking about then that the Democrats should revive the religious left?
Well, I absolutely think they should. You know, if you look at the history of this country, the religious left was the core of many of the progressive movements in the history of this country. They were at the core of the abolitionist movement. They were at the core of the movement for women's rights and women's suffrage. They were at the core of the populist movement. I mean, a great example, William Jennings Bryan, who gave that amazing Cross of Gold speech and spent his entire career going after big corporations and the bankers in the East, but obviously ended his career on this note of being a fundamentalist Christian. But to people like Brian, it was never a contradiction. And then you've got in the modern era, you've got people like Martin Luther King modern day reformers, environmentalists who talk about being stewards of the land. I mean, throughout American history, the religious left has played a huge role in social change. And so whatever your own views on religion, I think that progressives should be aware of that history and should embrace the moral teachings of Jewish and Christian and other religions, and not ignore them.
So you mentioned William Jennings Bryan, and of course at the end of the 19th century, in the late 1800s, when he ran against McKinley, outspent, I believe, something like 200-1 in the earlier Gilded Age from the one that we're in now, he made the very prophetic remark that the great challenge for what was to be the 20th century, the great challenge for the next century, is to protect the God-made man from the man-made God, the corporation. And here you have, which is actually one of the reasons I'd called you, Mark, was I want to talk about what can Obama and the Democrats do about Citizens United. It's just so obvious that that was a partisan vote, just like Bush v. Gore, and it's having a very, very dire partisan consequence. Yeah. Obama is simply not raising the kind of money that these super PACs are raising, and you've got the Koch brothers saying they'll spend $100-200 million, whatever it takes, to defeat Obama, and they're off to the races.
Yeah, it is it's a massive problem in a democracy to have this kind of unlimited, unregulated, unreported in many cases spending by these major corporations, and it's a huge challenge. I think that there's a couple of things that can be done. One is what I call the inoculation strategy. I think the Democrats have to be very focused on letting people know well in advance that these corporations are coming into these races with all this crap. I think they should remind them that, you know, whenever you see, you know, ads from these sleazeball groups, that they're paid for. We know that they're paid for because we've had insiders report it by the bankers, by the oil companies, by all these big business interests. Some of the groups that are running the ads have undeniably taken foreign money, but they won't admit who they're taking it from. The Chamber of Commerce was documented in 2010 taking money from foreign corporations and funneling the money into these ads. So this is a major threat to American democracy, and I think we need to be very out front in pushing back on it and in letting people know. You're going to see a whole bunch of crap. Whenever you see it, think about who's paying for it. And I think that needs to be a very, very overt message. I think that Obama and progressive Democrats can win races if they go on the attack against these big businesses who are dumping all this money in the race, and if they take them on. I think if we talk about Romney and Bain Capital and what he did there, and the fact that he's a tool of Goldman Sachs. I think that can make a huge difference. And then when you are getting outspent, people will remember that the reason you're getting outspent is because of these corporations. The other thing I think that needs to happen, and we've seen good signs of it already, but more and more organizations are coming together. There was a big press conference here in the last few days in D.C. of big national organizations saying, "Look, if we find out these corporations are dumping money into these ads, we're going to boycott them. We're going to take them on with shareholder resolutions. We're going to try to destroy their brand." The way groups did with Target in the last election cycle, when they gave a bunch of money to a far right wing group, and they were badly hurt by that. So I think progressive groups and bloggers and other individuals need to be very aggressive in going after these corporations when we find out they give this kind of money.
Well, just in closing, Mike Lux, what is the president going to do about the issue where he's most vulnerable? Boehner said some time ago that the price of gas is going to be the best issue that the Republicans can run on, and boy, is that proving to be the case.
Yep.
And the recent New York Times CBS poll indicated that the president had dropped precipitously on the issue of his apparent inability to do anything about it. My understanding is that one-third of the price of gasoline at the pump comes from speculation on Wall Street.
Yep.
Is the president going to take on Wall Street?
Well, he absolutely has to. I think there's two answers on the gas prices thing. Number one is to go after those speculators. I think that is a great message in large part because it's true. I mean, the speculators have driven up the price of oil at several different times in the last few years. They're doing it again. And we need to go straight at that. We need to make sure that people understand that. I think the second thing is to say, look, if oil prices and oil company profits are on the rise, who do you trust more to take on the oil industry? Who do you trust more to go after these guys and to hold them accountable and to force them to the table when it comes to the abuses that they're doing? Is it the Republicans you trust more who get all this money from oil companies, or is it the Democrats? And I think you need to make that very clear distinction, very clear populist case as to who are you going to trust more to take on the oil companies.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Mike Lux.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Again, I've been speaking with Mike Lux, a partner at Democracy Partners and the co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. He served as a special assistant to the president for public liaison in the White House from 1993 to 1995, and he's the author of the widely praised book, The Progressive Revolution, How the Best in America Came to Be. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about pressure on Iran.
What's in your head is really started showing. Your conversation's getting kind of boring.